Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here today. TV is my daytime gig, but in my 2 minutes and 40 seconds that I get to tell you whether or not it's going to snow or not tomorrow, I don't get to do a whole lot of science. And with my background being strongly rooted in agriculture, I always thought growing up that I wanted to make weather and agriculture married as one, and let you all make fun of me for trying to think that I know what it's going to do 6 to 12 months from now. So if I don't get ridiculed enough on TV from time to time, I throw myself out there for these types of things. However, many times I believe that it is sometimes easier to tell you the trend over a monthly period than it is here in Colorado to get the next 2 to 3 hours correct, because that's a pretty tough gig from time to time. So I'm not giving specifics to my clients and my customers when we're talking about monthly forecasts. We're talking about seasonal planning that you can use to make your business more effective. I've been doing it for my folks for at least the past 10 to 15 years. I've got a pretty good track record. I've got clients scattered all over the country. I've recently broke into California. And I am always thinking about drought, because to me, there is no worse thing in agriculture from a business perspective than drought. It is the worst kind of weather phenomenon, in my opinion. So what I want to share with you today, I'm going to walk you through 2016 and kind of what I think things are going to be looking like throughout the course of the year. There's a whole lot of publicity about this El Nino that's going on. I'm going to talk some about that today, and I'm going to give you a projection going forward. So I throw a lot at my audience. So if you have questions, I don't have a whole lot of time to hang around today, but I will give you my contact information here at the end so we can hook up a little bit later. Let's go ahead and get started here. We want to start with the current status, okay? This is total precipitation for the past 30 days, all right? And you can clearly see the hot areas. Southern Oklahoma, northeast Texas, the panhandle of Texas has been excessively wet lately. Most of northeast Colorado. Bottom line, we're in pretty good shape here in the western high plains. I talked to some folks over at Atwood, Kansas this morning. They had 20 inches of snow out of that storm just the other day. 20 inches. And you know the wind didn't blow very much either. There are some drier spots, however. You can see parts of the Arkansas Valley. They're a little bit drier than normal. And look at that, up there in parts of the western Dakotas, southeast Montana and northeast Wyoming are a little bit drier than your southern neighbors too. But there's a reason for that, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But considering where we've been off and on for the past few years, we're in pretty good shape. To drive that point home, here's the High Plains Drought Monitor. I usually don't like looking at the drought monitor because I don't believe it does a very good job of showing short-term moisture. It just isn't built that way. It's more cumulative than anything else. But overall, there's no excessive drought and no drought problems yet over a wide area. And I always say yet because it doesn't take us very long to go backwards when things get rough. This is a look at our current sea surface temperature anomalies. On November, I grabbed this yesterday, actually. That shouldn't say no. That should say November 17th. But the area that I have ovaled right there, those are what we call the Niño regions. There's a western Niño region, eastern Niño region, central. Bottom line, the Pacific is hot. Pacific Ocean's been warm now in one way, shape, or form for about the past year, at least. And when the Pacific is warm, or the Pacific is cold, or the Atlantic is warm, or the Atlantic is cold, it has a huge impact on our weather patterns here, not just in Colorado or the western high plains, but globally. Right now, you're looking at, depending on the measurements you use, the second strongest El Nino episode since 1950. There are some that say this is the strongest El Nino since 1950. Some folks say, well, what was that storm the other day? Is that an El Nino storm? I don't necessarily like to tie the label El Nino storm to any particular storm, because if there wasn't an El Nino, would we have seen that storm just the other day? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. However, El Nino does some things to the storm track that can make it more active, and that is especially true the farther south you go. So you want to know why eastern Montana, western Dakotas, northeast Wyoming hasn't seen much moisture or snow lately? That's our friend El Nino depressing that storm track farther south, okay? But this is a big deal. And as long as that Pacific is warm, it's going to look like this. Okay? These are the different Pacific Decadal Oscillation phases. Who's heard of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation before? A few of you. That's a good thing, because it is a huge driver in our weather here in the Western High Plains and really across the whole Western United States. Makes sense, right? If the Pacific blinks, shouldn't the land masses surrounding the Pacific be impacted? I kind of think so. So if you look on the left side of that screen right there, the Pacific, when it's in a cold phase, that's what it looks like. That blue shade is all colder than normal water that's running down the west coast of North America. That is a pretty classical pattern to enhance or develop drought in the Western High Plains. Conversely, on the right side there, that's where we are right now. The Pacific is warm. We've got a strong El Nino. We aren't having problems with drought right now in the Western High Plains. So it's kind of the wax and the wane there as far as how the Pacific behaves. It largely will act to dictate our moisture patterns. And I'm not talking about just a storm or two. I'm talking about over a several month period until it fluctuates in one way or another. I've charted these numbers back to 2005. They go back eons, but I just wanted to share with you the past, say, 10 years or so. This is the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, or instead of saying all that, I'll say PDO for short, where you're looking at it in terms of value, okay? All you need to know is negative numbers is when it's cold, positive numbers when it's warm. And you can pick out specific time frames there over the past 10 years when we have had problems with drought, especially in the Western High Plains and into the Southern Plains, okay? We really, after about 2005, flipped the script to where the Pacific was colder than normal over the long haul, and you can see from about mid-2010 until the end of 2013, the Pacific was in a very cold state. What happened during that time? Excessive drought, wildfires, ranches being up for sale, having to sell whole herds, all right? That 2.5 to 3 year period can wipe out decades of planning and businessmanship. Just a few years. That's one of the biggest reasons why I think drought is one of the worst things that can strike agriculture. And the damage that it can do to agriculture is unprecedented. However, to start 2014, the Pacific started to flip a little bit. Got a little warmer. And last winter at this time, we were talking about the Pacific Decadal Oscillation being a record warmth. Record warmth during those 3 months. December, January, February. It's been warm through all of 2015. It is starting to cool down a little bit. Starting to cool down a little bit from its record high levels. The Atlantic, same type of oscillation. These things fluctuate about every 20 to 30 years, okay? So when you get locked in one phase, and those are the weather patterns typically associated with that phase, it's pretty tough to break. The Atlantic has been warm since 95, and you can see all the positive numbers there. When the Atlantic cools a little bit, it doesn't stay that way very long, and we had a little cooling period take place last late winter and spring. And there were a lot of folks in this line of science that thought the Atlantic is getting ready to flip its phase, to go from warm to cool. It's not ready yet. And you can see the rebound that it took there, going from negative values in April to strongly positive numbers right now. So it's not ready to be that way. Why is that significant? This is probably in agriculture one of the most significant maps that I'll show anybody that I talk about this stuff to. McCabe is a very brilliant scientist. Back in 2004, he put this together. It's in terms of drought frequency. Where you see red, that's where drought frequency is higher than normal. Where you see the blues, that's where drought frequency is greatly lessened. So in different phases of these oceans, all right, you can see the associated drought frequency with each. So the pattern that has gotten us in trouble is in the lower right. All that red is where drought frequency should be enhanced when the Pacific is cold and the Atlantic is warm. Makes sense considering what we've had to deal with off and on for the past several years. We briefly detoured to the upper left in the spring. Drought frequency greatly reduced. We are essentially over in the upper right now. Pacific is warm, Atlantic is warm. So the northern tier of the country should have a propensity to have a little bit more trouble with drought. I don't think that pattern's going to hang around very long, though. I think we will inevitably revert back to the lower right for a few years, and then when the Atlantic is ready to shift here in a few years, we will be in the lower right. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? If you're a farmer or a rancher in the Western High Plains, you experience drought about 75% of the time, according to this map. That sounds pretty accurate, doesn't it? I mean, in the Western High Plains, we experience dry spells or drought almost every year. Depending on how long they last is how much they impact us. But for a younger farmer than rancher, under the age of 40, if you don't have a drought plan, you better get one yesterday. And for you older guys, if you don't have a drought plan or you're massaging things, oh, I might do this or might do that. Hey, let me tell you, there's no mites about this. Period. If you might, you might lose a lot of money. Let me say that again. You will lose a lot of money. As high priced as cattle are, you can't afford to take chances being a grass farmer. That's all you guys are, right? If you don't have grass, are you going to have cattle on your place? Probably not. Have you ever tried to feed cattle out of a drought? Who's had to try to feed cattle out of a drought in here? Don't be embarrassed. A lot of people have. You're never going to make money doing that. If you have a drought plan that you can enact to the T, you will get through these times. And you may not be as profitable as you like, but you won't be selling the whole herd and selling your ranch either. Get a drought plan. Let's look at this El Nino thing. That chart that you're looking at right there on the right is a graph showing where this El Nino episode has been. So we got started back November, December, January last year. Weekly warm, but boy, this thing really took off in the spring and summer. And we will peak, this El Nino will peak here within about the next month or so. But after this El Nino peaks, I think we will see it rapidly diminish in intensity and go back the other way. And this particular computer model kind of thinks that too, where you see that dashed line going down the right side of the graph. This particular computer model shows the same thing. El Nino peaks during the heart of the winter and then rapidly diminishes as we head into the spring. In fact, this particular computer model shows us actually trending back towards neutral or even weak La Nina phases by the time we head into spring. I think that may be a little fast, but I think it has the right idea. This model shows the same thing. Those gray lines that you see there on the right, those are the kind of the range, okay? It still hangs around El Nino or takes us back to cool. Either way you cut it, this El Nino and this blessing of moisture that we've had over the Western High Plains now for a while is not going to last, which also should be an indication that you should be very, very diligent and very plan-oriented how you're going to be using your moisture in the short term. This model's out of Japan. Same thing. Shows the same deal. Everybody's pretty much in agreement here. This is an ensemble of different models. If you look at the yellow line right there, that's generally the mean of where things are going. But there are some other lines that are a little bit quicker with that diminishing El Nino. Basically, what I'm getting at is this El Nino should be history sometime in the spring. Probably by late spring, I think it's probably done. Let's look at this computer model. This first computer model that I show you from a mapping standpoint is kind of a disaster, so I'm going to warn you. It's a global plot. Find where you are. You can kind of pick out western part of North America. December through February, this particular computer model thinks California is going to be pretty soggy. They are kind of fixing to get pretty soggy here pretty shortly, too. That's a good thing. Do you guys care about California cattle? Do you guys care about California ranchers? Do you know what they are going through right now? It is terrible. Why is it terrible? Well, they got a little water problem over there. they have a huge people and policy problem over there. Never before in our history has there been more people using water. Am I right? Worse, never seen more people before that we know of. So a pretty safe bet we're using more water. What are they trying to do, those ranchers? Don't be bashful. They're trying to take their water. You guys read about this? It's a pretty horrendous thing. And if you try to figure this out, if they don't get this drought fixed in a pretty short time, those agricultural folks, large part, they're going to have to go find something else to do because they're not going to have any water. So this is a very key time for that state with this El Nino to see if they can get their water fixed in a short order. That ain't going to happen. This is a multi-year drought. It's one of the worst droughts they've had in a while. Okay? It's not the worst drought ever, contrary to what some of you would have you believe. But the problem is the people and the cities that are big. Who's going to get the water if they need it the most? Farmers and ranchers? Uh-uh. A lot more votes in those urban areas than there are in those rural areas, right? You don't have to be a smart guy to figure out where this is going. Are you guys following what's going on here in Colorado with the Colorado Water Plan? If not, you better be. Let's see if it continues. March through May? Absolutely. West Coast should stay pretty soggy. Colorado, Nebraska, the Western Dakotas, not bad, okay? This model says we'll have some moisture. However, remember what I said a while back. The farther south you go, the better chances for better moisture you are going to have. The farther north you go, you may get shorted a little bit this winter and spring. If we look a little farther down the road, June through August, look at the northern tier of the country. It starts to moisten up, but look at what happens in the southwest. You see that little swath of brown right there from New Mexico, Arizona, creeping up in the southwest Colorado? That's essentially how this started several years ago. That's why I'm saying, if you have good moisture now, probably have good moisture in the spring, put it to excellent use. Put it to efficient use during that time. Let's look at some other models here. This is one is our own government model that is used for long-range forecasting. A lot of times I think it's terrible, okay? But given the strong El Nino and the strong signal in the forecast that is showing up here, it's actually not doing a bad job right now. So if we look at December through February, it's got the same signal. Wet there in the West Coast. Look up there in Montana. Little dry signal, parts of Wyoming. Into the western high plains, or the western Dakotas, I should say, and up into the upper Midwest. Those are traditionally the drier areas when we have a strong El Nino, and this one is showing you no exception. February through April, storm track juices up from California through Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, western Kansas. We're doing okay. I am fully on board with us having a wet late winter and spring for those areas. And I have been for months. Traditionally, here in Colorado, when we have a strong El Nino, we don't see a lot of winter moisture east of the hills. That El Nino has to relax. That storm track that's been south moves north, and that's when things get more interesting for us here. Okay? So what I've always thought is, when we have a strong El Nino, we could have one big one early, late October, November. I think that one just the other day might have been it. And then things kind of calmed down a little bit. And then we juice things back up late February, March, and April. As the El Nino weakens, which I showed you before, that's when the El Nino is likely going to weaken. The big question is what happens after that? April through June. Doesn't show us really having big problems with dryness. However, in 1997 and 98, that El Nino was a strong one. That El Nino graced us with plenty of moisture until May of 98. And after we came out of a wet early spring in 98, the moisture shut off from Texas through western Nebraska for 3 months. May, June, July were exceptionally dry. So while all this looks very rosy, we all need to have in the back of our mind, if you're not in the storm track, you're probably not going to be wet. And you need to be planning accordingly for that. However, from a widespread standpoint, I don't see big problems just yet for really anybody. Let's look at this one. This map here again is a world plot. This particular analog, if you will, and model takes the past El Niños and the past and what the sea surface temperatures looked like during those years and then projects it forward. All right? So if you find North America up there, you see that the West Coast is wet. The southern tier of the country is pretty wet. This is through December, January, February. That's what the DJF up there stands for. And the drier areas will run from the Pacific Northwest, Southwest Canada, and across the northern tier. But the dry signal for most of the northern tier isn't terrible. However, I'm pretty confident you're not going to have much of a winter in the Dakotas. It doesn't look that way. February, March, and April, same story. California's wet, the southern tier is pretty wet, but there are some spotty dry areas up there across the northern tier. And that's why I said El Niño favors the southern storm track. If you're farther north, you're going to struggle until that storm track comes back north, which it eventually does. April, May, and June, that wet signal goes farther north. But look what's starting to happen down there. I know it's a disaster to look at, but South Texas, when I spoke down at College Station at Texas A&M back in August, everybody's talking about one thing, restocking. They are loading up down there. And boy, did I throw water on their fire. Texas Beef Council was all kinds of pissed off at me after I got talking, done talking. I told them, you don't have to just go gung-ho all about this just because you can. You need to have a little bit of perspective. And that's exactly what I told them. Because at these prices, if you overextend yourself now and have a wreck, you're done. So I just said, just be cautious. Because in 98, May, June, July, it was dry down there. After all that moisture, and everybody thought it was going to be wet forever. It's never wet forever here in the Western High Plains or the Southern Plains. They should know better than that. They're just being stupid. June, July, August. I don't see any major problems during that time. But again, here in Colorado and the Western High Plains, if that El Niño is done, it's in the back of my mind that I should at least be thinking about the return to dryness or the return to drought. And that's really my main message with something like this. When we come out of these periods of time, when we are wetter than normal. August, September, October, no huge wet signal here and there. And again, we're getting out pretty far here, so I'm going to give the model a break if it can't exactly pinpoint what's going to happen at that time. A lot can happen between now and then. October, November, December, I am still bugged by that little bit of brown that's starting to creep northward out of the southwest. That, to me, is a signal that we should all be thinking about. El Niño favors southern areas with the best moisture, winter and early spring. When El Niño relaxes, the storm track moves farther north, starts in the spring, and may continue into the summer, like what we've kind of talked about. There's no apparent drought areas for concern in the Western High Plains for now. And the thing that I am thinking about is La Niña will return, likely in the back half of 16. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, La Niña is basically the opposite of El Niño. Instead of that water out there being warm, it's cold. Remember that map that I showed you what happens when the Pacific's cold? We get droughty. So while I don't know the exact time frame that this is going to happen, I just know it's going to happen. That's pretty much certainty. And that may spur dryness and allow drought to start, and that's especially true south of I-80, and even more so once you get south of I-70. So while you folks that are live farther north may struggle a little bit this winter with not having a whole lot of snow, at least in my opinion. I mean, I'm a weather guy. I could be completely wrong. And still get paid. You guys never heard that before. I don't think that's going to last for you, because inevitably that storm track will move farther north and get you. You guys are wetter than us we up there anyway, most of the time. It's down here when we don't get much moisture and we don't even get that amount of moisture during a year. That's what really sets us back. That's what really allows the drought to get a foothold and move forward. That's my contact information right there. I am all over social media because it is an extremely effective way to communicate. I have a cat. I love my cat, but I don't take it to the store and put it in a shopping cart and post that on Facebook, okay? I use a lot of the Twitter stuff specifically to communicate with my clients or anybody that's interested. You got a question for me? Ask me. You're not going to bug me. I'm up till 2:30 or 3 in the morning anyway, you know? So might as well be answering email and questions. My consulting business that I do for farmers and ranchers, if you're interested in doing that, please email me. Like I said, I have stuff from California to North Carolina, and I do it every single day. But basically my message is going forward here in Western High Plains, the wetter times that we remember from the late 70s through the 90s, those things are over. Even little glimmers of hope here and there where we're wet, that isn't a return to that, those times. Our wetter times are shorter and less frequent, and our drier times are longer and more frequent. So have a plan. Thank you.